Thank you for that beautiful music. It's great. Well, before I begin, I'd like to add my word of thanks to our deacons and the people who have been working on getting our air conditioning fixed. You know, the air conditioning always goes out in the summertime, right? Isn't that what it always happens? And they have done an amazing job coming early and keeping the building as cool as possible. And so I'm just really grateful. Of course, those of you in the balcony, you are faithful balcony people. And if it gets too hot, though, you're welcome to come on down here. But we're so glad that you're with us as well. But yes, please, if you see a deacon, please share with them your gratitude for the work that they are doing. We hope to have it fixed sooner than later. Of course, these things, it's hard to set a timeline on them, but it looks like we will continue these summer hours. Just to reiterate what has been said earlier in the announcements, we'll be starting Sabbath school at 9 o'clock and church at 10:30 for the month of June. If that changes, we'll certainly let you know. But it looks like that's what the plan is going to be. And we'll keep you posted as soon as we know something. So there's a trend in the United States that you might find surprising. In spite of all the advanced technology that's available to us, the National Institutes of Health reports that out of the millions of people in the United States who suffer from hearing loss, millions of people in the United States suffering from hearing loss, out of these millions of people that could benefit from using a hearing aid, only 20% actually use them. Think about that. If you heard what I said, think about that, right? Out of the millions of people in the United States, even though we have all of this technology, although all these people could benefit from using a hearing aid, only 20% actually do. What's interesting about this is that a study done by some researchers at Johns Hopkins University, they discovered that people who are 50 years old and older, that suffer from hearing loss, they discovered that that number of people who take advantage of the technology available today actually drops to 14%. You would think it would go up, but it actually drops to 14%. These are people who could be hearing more than just bits and pieces of the sermon or a conversation at a restaurant. These are people who wouldn't have to be missing out on their grandchildren's first words. These are people who wouldn't have to be missing the punchline on a joke, you know, that's told at a social gathering somewhere. These are people who could enjoy the beauty of their favorite music. If they would simply use the technology available, if they would simply put on the hearing aids available, they could benefit and they could hear. But according to these studies, millions of Americans who could be benefiting by hearing aids are just not using them. They're just not doing it. And although many of the sophisticated hearing aids can be very pricey, these researchers from Johns Hopkins University discovered that cost is not the big reason. It's not the main reason that so few people use hearing aids. It doesn't come down to cost. They learned that the biggest reason more people don't use hearing aids is this. They think that hearing loss is not a big deal. That's the big reason. They think that they can deal with it. Yeah, it's not really a big deal. It kind of comes along with, you know, growing older, and I guess it just is something I got to live with. And so they just accept it. They don't think it's really that big of a deal to not be able to hear very well. And that's the big reason why they don't use, they discovered that the majority of people don't use hearing aids. And since hearing loss often happens very slowly and oftentimes it's imperceptible, many don't realize that their hearing is really that bad. Many just accept it. This is my lot in life. And although being hard of hearing may not seem like that big of a deal, the overwhelming consensus among medical professionals is this: untreated hearing loss in people over 50 years especially can cause serious negative consequences. And this is what they say: not using hearing aids has been linked to a diminished brain function. Not using hearing aids has been linked to memory loss. It's been linked to social isolation. You can see that one coming, right? People are saying things to you, but if you're not hearing it, it's going to cause some social isolation. It's led to depression, and it's also led to dementia. There's some real consequences by not being aware of the sounds and what's happening in our environment. People who lose their hearing are not just living quieter, happier lives. They're missing messages that are vital to emotional and mental health. They're missing these communications that are vital to their health. Well, as we are continuing our sermon series this week, continuing this series called Hearing God's Voice, there's a reality that we all have to face. Whether your physical hearing is great or not, the reality is all of us, spiritually speaking, are hard of hearing. All of us know what it's like. I think if we're all honest, we know what it's like to go all day long or maybe all week long, maybe all month long, all year long, and have never heard God's voice. Some people live an entire lifetime and cannot say that they have heard God's voice. We all have spiritual hearing impairments. When it comes to hearing God's voice, we're hard of hearing. We're all prone to missing the messages that God is sending our way. And this is a real problem because God knows what is best for our lives, right? He knows what we need to do to be happiest. He knows how to steer us in the right direction when we're going down a wrong path. He knows how we can live life to the fullest. He tells us who we are, what our identity is. He tells us how much we need him. And his word has power to perform miracles. If you've missed any of the messages on hearing God's voice, you'd like to go back and listen to them, you can go to our website. It's at modestosda.org. You can listen to those messages. It talks about some of these things that I've just mentioned. God's voice plays an important, vital role in our life. And if we are missing it, we're really missing a lot. Hearing God's voice matters. But the Bible doesn't just tell us, hey, God is speaking, so listen up. God realizes that we have some hearing problems. God realizes that we need help hearing his voice. And so he's given us these really amazing aids to hear his voice. And if we're willing to accept them and listen to what he's saying through them, then the messages that he is sending our way that are necessary for abundant life will be received into our life. We will experience the life we have been created for if we can hear God's voice. Well, the title of the message this morning is called Hearing Aids. Hearing Aids. We're going to talk about them. But before we do, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, some of us have some physical problems in hearing. But Lord, we recognize that we need some real help in hearing what you're saying to our hearts. So I pray, God, that you would empower the spiritual ears that all of us so desperately need opened in our lives, and that we would hear your voice speaking words of life to us. May we not be distracted by anything right now. May we hear your sweet voice speaking to us, words of life. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Our teaching this morning comes from Psalms chapter 19. So I want to invite you to open your Bibles to that chapter, Psalms chapter 19. If you need a Bible, just grab the pew Bible in front of you and open to page 523. Psalms 19, page 523 in your pew Bibles. I want to invite you to follow along and let's take a close look and just really be intentional about listening to what God has to say to us here in his word, Psalms chapter 19. This psalm was written, as many of you know, by King David. As a young boy, King David took care of sheep. And as he was tending sheep for his father, King David, well, before he was King David, he found a lot of time to talk to God, watching the sheep out in the fields, out in nature, under the big blue sky. But instead of just telling God what was on his heart, instead of just unloading and going through his list, sharing these things with God, he didn't just do that. David also listened to God. David spent time hearing. He spent time being attentive to what God was trying to say to his heart. David was concerned about hearing and obeying the messages that God was sending his way. And he did so much of this that his experience of hearing God's voice shaped his life. It made him courageous. We know about David and Goliath. He heard God's voice. He was courageous. Hearing God's voice filled him with joy and gladness. We find the Psalms of praise that he wrote in the book of Psalms. It gave him liberty to be open and honest with God, to share the real emotions that he was feeling. Hearing God's voice did so much for David. It shaped his life into this mighty man of God we see him to be. Because David was willing, so willing to hear God's voice, the Bible actually describes him as a man after God's own heart. Yeah, we know that description about David. That's because he was willing to hear, willing to trust, willing to listen, willing to follow. And although David no doubt heard the Bible read to him numerous occasions, his experience with God grew strong because he accepted the hearing aids God provided. In Psalms 19, David tells us how God helped him hear his voice so well. Listen to what he says. I'm going to read verses 1 through 4 of Psalms chapter 19. It says, the heavens declare, the heavens speak, the heavens call out. There's this loud voice that is coming from the heavens, and it's declaring the glory of God. And the firmament, or the sky, shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. This speech is going everywhere. David tells us what God has given us to help us hear the truth about God. David is saying that God is speaking not just through his word, but he's also speaking through nature. He's speaking through the things that he's made, through creation. And although creation does not use the English language or the Chinese language or Hindi or whatever language might be out there, it does not use words. It says that the voice of creation, or the line is how my Bible says in verse 4, their line has gone out. Their voice, the sound of what they're saying is going out to the farthest reaches of the earth. Everyone can hear God's voice, in other words, because the heavens declare his glory. When David talks about the heavens, he's not talking about a place invisible to us where God and his angels dwell. He's talking about a place that's actually highly visible, this expanse that's above us. If the roof were made out of glass, we could see exactly what he was talking about right now as we're sitting in this church. As we look up into the skies, we look up into the heavens, he is saying that there we find God's character, his glory being declared. The heavens describe all that contains the sun, the moon, and the stars. This space, this expanse above us. So in the sky, God has positioned aids to hear his voice. They're speaking, he says, and they're declaring God's glory. And notice what verse 2 says about how they are doing it. Verse 2 says, day unto day, these utter speech, and night unto night, they reveal knowledge. That word utters speech, the New International Version says, day unto day, they pour forth speech. This is a Hebrew word that David is using. And the picture here with this Hebrew word is of like a mountain spring. It's just gushing forth. It's bubbling forth fresh, cool streams of water to quench the burning thirst of a traveler. It's uttering, it's bursting forth, it's gushing this speech, this knowledge, declaring the glory of God. God knows we have difficulty hearing. He gets that. And so instead of saying, I told you once and I'm not going to tell you again, God places these hearing aids that are daily gushing forth speech, daily speaking to us, daily telling us the truth about God. Nature continues to speak, even though we don't always listen. And it really reveals an attribute of God. You know, if I'm speaking and someone stops listening to me, my natural response is, well, I'm going to stop speaking. Even if what I have to say is really important. Maybe you experienced that before, where you're sharing something and someone's just not listening. And so, well, I'll just take it somewhere else, I guess, you know. But God is not like that. Nature reveals something very important about God, is that he is constantly sending blessings our way. Whether we receive them or not, whether we thank him or not, he is constantly, through nature, through circumstances in life, he is constantly sending blessings our way. Nature continues to speak, even though we may not listen. Though people say nature is the result of violent, chaotic events that have happened over millions of years. Though people say, yeah, nature's intelligent design might be there. Yeah, there might be irreducible complexity in nature. But we are not willing to accept that a creator God made all this. Even though people have worshiped the sun, the moon, and the stars and robbed God of the credit he deserves as the creator of these amazing things around us in nature, Psalms 19 verse 2 says that nature is still declaring the glory of God. Nature is not offended. Nature is not ceasing to speak because not everyone is listening. It is declaring, uttering, gushing forth speech, declaring every day, every night what God is like. Now, usually when we think of hearing, we think of an activity in which our ears are involved, right? That kind of almost goes without saying. Like if I ask you to listen closely to what I'm saying, I'm usually thinking of something that you're going to be doing with your ears. But here David is telling us to listen with more than just our ears. He's telling us to listen with our eyes. He says, look up and hear what nature is saying about God. In 1 John 4, verse 8, the Bible gives us a simple yet profound description of what God is like, who God is. The Bible in 1 John 4, 8 says, God is love. God is love. It's a simple description, three words, and it's this profound explanation of who God is. God is love. That means that love is not just something that God does. Love is not just something that he excels in. It's more than that. Love is the essence of who God is. And any one of you who have ever been heartbroken by someone who insincerely told you, I love you, and didn't follow through, you know that in order for love to be love, there has to be action. If it's just someone saying these things to you, it may not be love. I can tell my wife, Rosie, that I love her. And I really make a point to tell her that I love her. I really work on doing that every day. I want to make sure that she hears that from me every day. I learned that from a very wise couple in this church who's going to be celebrating 70 years of marriage. And the husband in this relationship counseled me. He said, every day I tell my wife that I love her. Thank you, Ted. And that's really good advice. People, women, our wives, they need to hear, husbands, they need to hear that you love them. And so I try to make a point of telling my wife that I love her. But if that's all I do, then it's just not love. As important as it is for us to hear that God loves us, words aren't enough. Just like it is with my wife, if I do not provide for her by working hard, if I do not help take care of the house, if I don't do the dishes, if I don't assist her in all the chores around the house, if I don't bring her flowers, if when she's had a hard day, I'm not willing to stop and listen and stop trying to fix her, it's not love. I've got to do something in order for my words to mean anything. God is love, the Bible says. The words are communicated to us, but he's not just talking. When the Bible says that God is love, it's more than just talk. He is constantly backing up this truth by demonstrating in creation who he is. actions all over, showing that he loves us. In verses 4 through 7 of Psalms chapter 19, notice what David uses as his primary example of how God demonstrates, of how God acts and shows his love for us. Verse 4, I'm going to start with the second part there. It says, in them he has set a tabernacle for the sun. Notice what he's saying here. He's saying the heavens declare the glory of God. And now exhibit A of God's glory being declared is the sun. Verse 5, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoices like a strong man to run its race. Its rising is from one end of heaven and its circuit to the other end, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. Its warm glow reaches everybody on this earth. Can you imagine if the rotation of the earth was hit and miss? Can you imagine if some days the sun rose in the sky just like it should, and other days it didn't? Well, what would life be like? What if God struggled to make the sunrise and the sunset consistent? What if the axis in which the rotate Earth's on was a little wobbly? What if it was kind of like our air conditioning unit and just kind of went out when we really needed it to deliver? You know, what if our solar system was like that? Since we need the sun to sustain our lives, God bathes the earth consistently, easily, just like a strong man rejoices to run his race. By creating the sun to shine on everyone, God is telling us about who he is. He's telling us that he loves us, and as evidence of that, he is providing for us what we need. That's a real big need he's meeting in giving us the sun. And what's interesting about the sun is whether you are good or whether you're bad, whether you come to church today or not, whether you do what God says or not, whether you listen to him or not, his sun still shines on you every day. And that is evidence of his glory. His glory is his character, and his character is saying he loves you. Consider for a moment just the cycle of day and night. Because the earth rotates on its axis, there is sunrise, and there's the beautiful warm glow of the sun that warms us up in the morning, those warm morning rays that we may not be especially needing right now, but on a cold morning, those first rays of light, they warm us up. Because the earth rotates on its axis, there's the sunshine during the day that causes things to grow, that causes plants to produce fruit, gives us food. And then there's the darkness of evening. There's this cycle that is perfectly suited for us to get the rest that we need so we're ready to go to work the next day. Consider the orbit of the earth around the sun. Consider the location of our solar system in the Milky Way galaxy. God has perfectly engineered our position in space to sustain life on earth. Everything is in this perfect balance, and God has placed it there to let us know that he cares, to let us know who he is, that he loves us. It says that the heavens demonstrate that God cares and provides for our needs. But God doesn't just stop at the basics. God's love for us is extravagant, and we see that in nature. Just with the naked eye, as you look up into the sky, you can see beauty everywhere. After a storm comes and the rain falls, and the rain in itself has beauty, but the sun comes through, and then there's this beautiful rainbow. And God paints this beautiful spectrum of color in the sky just to say how he feels about us. We see the beauty in this rainbow. There's the beauty of the brilliant color of clouds, how at the sunset, there's the oranges and the reds and the purples that just light up the sky. God's beauty. There's no artist quite like God. There's the soft light of the moon, the breathtaking view of a night sky that's just shimmering with countless stars. And then there's the beauty that King David never saw. When I was a kid, I first saw this beauty. I went and I bought a book called A Field Guide to the Stars. It's kind of a nerdy thing to do, but I was into it. I went and I bought this book. And as I looked through this book, I saw for the first time beauty in the skies that David may not have ever even been able to imagine. As I opened this book, I saw these pictures that were taken by high-powered telescopes. Maybe you've seen them before. If you haven't, go to the NASA website. They have all these amazing pictures of space. And I saw things like the Orion Nebula. Interestingly enough, that's a nebula that you can actually see with your naked eye. But with these high-powered telescopes, it took these pictures, and there's these beautiful colors of these gases and clouds it's just breathtaking. There's things like the Horsehead Nebula, or nebula that I don't even know the names of. All kinds of beautiful colors were pictured here in this book. In this book, it showed pictures of galaxies and how they all had this symmetry and this perfection to them, and yet all of them were unique, kind of like snowflakes. They were just beautiful. In this book, it showed pictures of the planets, and I had a little telescope, and I can kind of see these dots out in the sky, but these pictures were amazing. It showed these orange clouds swirling around the planet of Jupiter. It showed the rings of Saturn, and just these beautiful colors and shapes of these planets that are in our solar system. Nature has beauty everywhere we look. And the farther science is able to see into the heavens, and really the closer we're able to look at the things here on earth, we see beauty everywhere. It shows something about the extravagance of God. It's as if he's telling us there's no place you can go in this universe without seeing some token of my love for you. The beauty in the sky, the beauty in nature is God telling us what he is like. He loves beauty and he loves us. And as a demonstration of his love for us, as an action showing his love for us, he provides beauty as far as the eye can see. I would venture to even say that there is probably beauty out there that we have never seen. You know, when an amazing artist, a talented artist, paints a picture on a canvas, they paint it on one side and we put it on the wall and we ooh and ah over it. But on the backside, it's still not very good looking. God is not like that. He puts beauty everywhere. You go down into the earth and you find these caves and there's beauty there. You go down to the depths of the sea, and there's beauty there. And as you go to the farthest reaches of the heavens, God places beauty there that we may not even ever see, because his love is extravagant. His love has no end. Nature declares the glory of God. Now let me ask you, if everywhere you look, you were to hear God saying to you, I love you, how different would your life be? How different would this past week have been if all day long, every day, you were hearing God's voice through these hearing aids that he's provided saying, I love you? Would that make a difference in the amount of worry and stress you carry? Would that make a difference in how you feel about yourself, the value that you place upon yourself? Would that make a difference in your courage when given an opportunity to stand for God? Would that make a difference in your productivity? Would that make a difference in all of the silly things and sometimes really dumb things we do to try and make ourselves feel better? Nature constantly is telling us what God thinks of us. And he's saying, in this beauty all around you, I want you to know, I love you. Just like the person with hearing loss who refuses to hassle with a hearing aid, we can miss out on what God is saying if we do not take the time to listen to him through nature. I just want to share with you an experience that happened to me in 2009. I was at a real low in my experience. And it was really ironic because at this time, it seemed like everything was going for me. This was the summer of 2009 that I'm referring to. 7 months earlier, I had just been ordained to the gospel ministry. Typically a real high point, and it was at that moment. But by the summertime, I was at a real low. I was feeling empty. I was dissatisfied with my life. And one day I was listening to a sermon, kind of half listening to the sermon, and out of the blue, the speaker just said, if you want to get close to God, if you want to be fulfilled by his love, then you need to go out into nature alone. Now, Truth be told, I'd actually been thinking about doing that. I was so busy. I was going so hard. I was just working and so preoccupied with what I was doing that I said, man, I need to get away. And when he told me this, I was like, wow, maybe this is God speaking to me. And I'll admit, I was a little scared because I wasn't super comfortable being outdoors at the time alone. And, you know, I had these images of a bear coming and attacking me and taking all my food and stuff like that. But since I heard this so loud and clear, this pastor speaking, I was like, man, this is to me. I decided to shoulder my backpack and go out into the wilderness. For the first day or so, I can remember just being so into my thoughts. I can just remember mulling over all of the problems going on in my life, focusing on all my worries, focusing on all my concerns. And I'm walking through Yosemite National Forest out of Tuolumne Meadows, and I'm totally oblivious to what's around me. I'm just thinking about what's going on. I'm just frustrated. I'm just caught up in my own world. Well, by the third day, it started to dawn on me that God was speaking. I slowed down, and I began to realize that all around me, there were hearing aids, God telling me, Brian, I love you. You see the blue sky? I picked that color out for you. You see this beautiful flower? That's me trying to tell you that I love you. Do you feel the cool the coolness of the mountain stream, that refreshing feel? That's me trying to tell you that I love you. Do you feel the warm rays on your body warming you up in the morning? That's me trying to tell you that I love you. And I realized that all along, God had been trying to tell me something that was so important to my life. And as I began to hear it and listen to it, things started to change in my life. I went into the wilderness frustrated and empty and just dissatisfied with life. I left at peace. I left happy. I left knowing that I am loved. That's really what we're looking for. All around us, God is trying to tell us that he loves us. And busyness keeps us from hearing this voice. But busyness is really just a symptom of a deeper issue. Please turn with me to Romans chapter 1, 20 and 21. I'm wrapping it up here, but please follow me. Romans chapter 1, 20 and verses 20 and 21 of Romans chapter 1. It's page 1085, I believe, in your pew Bible. Romans chapter 1, 20 and 21. I had an experience recently where I met a lady. As you're going there, I just want to tell you this story. I met a lady who was in a really professional care facility. And this lady had people who were doing her laundry. This lady had people who were feeding her, people who were checking on her, nurses that were providing all the medication that she needed. She had activity directors that were spending time with her. In fact, when I was talking with her, the activity director was actually wheeling her around, talking with her, encouraging her. She had people who were physical therapists that were getting her back on track. And even though she had all of these things surrounding her, providing her with all of the care she needed, this woman was in a very dark place. She could barely even look up. She barely acknowledged me when I talked with her. And even though she had all of this going for her, she missed it completely because she was so focused on her problems. Look at what it says in Romans chapter 1, 20 and 21. Here, I believe, in Romans chapter 1, is the real reason why we miss out on the words of life that God is wanting to tell us. Romans chapter 1 and verse 20, it says, "For since the creation of the world, God's invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead." Here it is, just like it was saying in Psalm 19, God is displayed in creation. And it says, he is displayed so clearly that they are without excuse. He's speaking of the pagan world that doesn't have a Bible. They are without excuse because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Gratitude keeps us from hearing God's voice. Ingratitude keeps us from hearing God's voice. Hope you're listening. Ingratitude keeps us from hearing these messages of love where God is saying, I love you. All around us, there are these messages. But we will not hear them if we're so focused on our issues, on our problems, that we don't stop and look up and praise God for the glory that his creation is declaring. Praise God for the messages of love that he has placed for us. Although people who are not believers can appreciate nature and can be benefited by nature, I believe that there is no one that can appreciate nature like someone who believes in the Bible. No one can do it like a Bible believer, and here's why. The Bible believer goes into nature and sees more than chemistry, more than physics, more than biology, more than beauty. The Bible believer goes into nature and sees God's love letter to us. It's all around us. It's constantly being declared. God is constantly telling us, I love you. So this morning, I want to invite you to consider what nature is saying to you. Consider these hearing aids that God has placed for our benefit. Especially today, the Sabbath day, the memorial of creation. Spend time in nature. If you can't get out into nature this afternoon, spend time listening to what God is saying to you. Spend time looking for God's messages to you. Take time to smell the roses, literally. And as you smell the beauty of nature, let it impress upon you that God is telling you he loves you. On your drive to work, consider the blue sky or the rain, or consider the trees and all the different varieties that God has created for our enjoyment. Thank him for his creation that aids our ears, and let God tell you every day, every moment, what he's trying to tell you, that he loves you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for helping us in our difficulty hearing your voice. Thank you, God, that every day you're speaking to us. Forgive us for taking it for granted. Forgive us that we become so familiar with these messages, so familiar with the beauty of nature that we overlook it. Lord, give us a heart of gratitude to thank you as often as you tell us that you love us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. May you go from here empowered to listen to God's voice. May you look up in the sky and see it with intelligence, knowing that this is the Creator's handiwork saying he loves you. God bless you.